Whether you know it or not, and maybe you do, we are transmitting thoughts all the time, every time, because of the way our mind works. We talked a little bit about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. We talked about the subconscious mind being, you know, totally open to suggestions. As a matter of fact, the subconscious mind doesn't really know the difference between a real thought and a fake thought. That's why you can train your subconscious mind to change habits within yourself. You look at auto-suggestion and self-hypnosis. They work very well in influencing the subconscious mind. But again, it takes a lot of direct communication with the subconscious for it to get to work. So some people think if they just say a couple affirmations to their subconscious mind that they're going to quit smoking, it's not going to work. Now, if you constantly bombard the subconscious mind, absolutely it will work. Of course, the conscious mind is that reasoning mind. It's the mind that's going to say, that's not possible, that doesn't make sense, you're crazy, it doesn't mesh with current belief systems, and it will dispute and rebuke a lot of the stuff that you put into it. And so, again, I'm going to keep harping about the belief factor. You've got to have a strong belief factor. See, some people believe that these things are possible, but they may not believe that they're possible for them. And what I want you to really start to embrace is the fact that you have the capabilities to do all these things. Now, there's a couple different types of communication mind-to-mind. The first is involuntary mind-to-mind communication, which is kind of what I mentioned in the last little section, is you walk into a room and depending upon your emotions, people can pick up on it. They can tell if you're having a good day or a bad day. That's kind of a mind-to-mind communication. It's not very specific, but you can pick up upon it. We talked in the energy portion where you're learning how to sense somebody's aura, somebody's chi by using your palms. Well, you can do the same thing to find out, you know, what kind of emotional structure, you know, they're in. You can start to feel it. I don't want you to always just start feeling with the palms, though. I want you to start feeling with the entire body, what that person feels like, you know, what that energy is that they're getting off. Because once you can interpret energy, that's part of the process that you're going to use in order to send energy. Once you can feel somebody's energy and understand what it feels like when somebody's mad, then you could send that same type of energy to somebody else. Not that you'd want to send angry energy to anybody, but that's just an example. And so every day we're thinking, you know, if we think about somebody, a lot of times what happens is that thought, depending upon how much we send, will actually attach to that person. For instance, a good example is if you get in an argument with, let's say, your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and you harbor those thoughts all day long, thinking about whatever you're fighting about, and you're thinking about him or her constantly, that is a telepathic message that's going to that person. It doesn't matter how far away they are either. They could be in California, you can be in New York, and they're going to feel that energy. They're going to feel that energy intensely if you're really focusing on that person. You're sending a lot of energy in their direction. They will feel it. Now, the difference is that as you begin to learn how to sense the energy, you're going to be able to differentiate people's energy. Right now, the way your body's set up as you get involved in this type of study is that you're being hit with these telepathic messages, this mind-to-mind communication all the time, but your energy system basically, you know, doesn't recognize it because there's so much. I mean, anybody that you've ever come in contact with, when they think about you, when they have a thought, thoughts are things that immediately comes in your direction. It's kind of like as if the phone was ringing constantly and you had a caller ID and you could differentiate, well, I'll pick up this phone, that phone I won't pick up. And it's kind of the same way. You can interpret somebody's energy, but already you're doing everything on an involuntary basis. Whether or not you're picking it up, that's a different story. So we're not going to concentrate so much on the involuntary because we want to be specific. When we send a voluntary message to somebody, we want to make sure that it's going to get to the person that we're speaking to. I can tell you this, that I have people that I work with, instructors and trainers that I've worked with in the past that are so good at it, and we have such an energetic connection that they could send energy my way send me a telepathic message, and I'll be on the phone in 5 minutes. If they want me to call them, I will pick up the phone and call them. Vice versa, if I want to get a message to them, I can do the same thing. Sometimes it's not a specific message, but they can pick up the emotional content. If I had a problem, I can guarantee you right now that I could send enough energy to a couple people that would immediately pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, what's going on? Very simple. Maybe not simple, but it works. Again, I have an energetic connection with those people. And the more energetic connection you have with somebody, the easier it's going to be to make that connection. Now, if you spend enough time, you're going to get a connection with somebody. And what we're going to talk about is where you voluntarily are sending the information and you're setting up a protocol in order to get that transmission out there. One of the things you have to begin to grasp about the mind is that the mind thinks in terms of pictures. If you say a picture to your mind, the mind is going to grasp whatever picture that is. And depending upon the type of mind picture that somebody has is going to determine how they react to the impression that you're sending to them. For instance, I always use the example of artists because artists are very good visualizers. And what you're going to find in this entire study of using your mind-body connection is that there are going to be some people that are excellent visualizers and some that are not. If you're a great visualizer, you have an advantage to some extent over some other people. I personally am not that great of a visualizer. Okay, I'm not an artist. I mean, I'm okay, but I'm not like Michelangelo. You take an artist, and I've always used the example that if you said to somebody, hey, think of a school bus, a yellow school bus. Well, normal people that are not visualizers, kind of got stuck on that word there, what they will do is they'll see the yellow school bus, and that's it. Whereas you take a visualizer, they see the yellow school bus, they see the kids on the bus, they see the bus driver, they see what every kid looks like, they know what the bus driver looks like, they see the logo on the bus company, they see what kind of tires it is, that there's two tires that are going bald, and that there's a dent in the back. That is what a visualizer sees. That's how their mind works. And that's why they're able to visualize at a very high rate. That's why artists can take something from their mind, convert it to paper, convert it to sculpture, convert it to whatever medium of art that they're doing. For those of us that aren't, we have to work a lot harder. But by the same token, we're still sending thought pictures out. So we want to start to learn how to be able to send a picture out to somebody. It's not just if I'm looking at a stapler on my desk here, and I send you the impression of the stapler, and I just think of the word stapler and a staple, it might be a little bit too vague for you to actually pick up. But if I actually showed the stapler, and I showed somebody stapling documents, I showed somebody stapling something to the wall, I showed somebody using the stapler in another fashion, you would get the idea that the stapler was the focal point of that transmission of thought. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But that is the way we're going to send those thoughts out. If you wanted to send a thought to somebody, and again, we'll get in a little more detail when we get into the actual exercises, if you had a picture of that person, it'd be a lot easier. Now, obviously, if it was a family member, a friend, or somebody that you knew, you have a picture already stored up in your mind. It's just a matter of retrieving that picture, focusing on that picture, and sending that thought image out. In order to send the thought image out even stronger would be to actually take a picture, focus on it, and send that image out. And that means that you would be getting a direct connection with that person almost instantaneously. It works extremely well. So as we look at that, you have your two basic types. You've got your voluntary and involuntary type of transmissions. We're going to spend most of our time in this discussion talking about voluntary, which means you're actually voluntarily sending information to somebody. And once we do that, we'll teach you how to actually respond and receive the information yourself, which will be quite unique.